Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the program. Lori Rubenson here with you. And the Mets finish up a 3-3 road trip. Pete Alonso setting records. And when it's time to talk about records and numbers, who better than Mark Simon from Sports Info Solutions? Good. If you're interested in analytics, I encourage you to follow Mark. If you're not, I encourage you to follow Mark anyway. He's author of The Yankee Index. Every number tells a story. All right. So first question, Mark, welcome. First of all, welcome to the program. First question for you is, before we dive into the Mets and some of the specifics, across baseball this season, one of the big stories is bad bullpens. And I wanted your take from a quantifiable standpoint and what you've seen. Just how bad have major league bullpens been this season?
Well, the ERA for bullpens this year is about the same as starters, and that's not usually the case. Usually bullpens are better, and there just aren't reliable relievers, because I think a couple of things are happening. One, there are a lot of teams and a lot of pitchers, and teams are using more pitchers now than ever before. So you're seeing pitchers that would typically be in the minor leagues that are getting meaningful innings. And I think that that's probably the most important thing. The other is that starters are just not going deep. Starters are going now 5 innings a game when they used to go 6, when they used to go 7. And teams are forced to go to their bullpens early, thus taxing more pitchers, thus forcing more pitchers to be used. And it's been a plague, I guess you could say, that has bothered just about every contending team this year, especially in the National League.
Yeah. So a lot of times I think fans tend to have this, or some fans tend to like to blame, you know, problems in the game to analytics. Well, that's analytics' fault. And one of these things is that starters, you know, the smarter that teams got, the more they looked at some of these starters and said, third time through the order, starters don't do as well. Let's get starters out. And starters started to be in there shorter. The thing about, though, to me, numbers, information, and how you use it is that it is about getting an edge. And it is about then correcting when there are inefficiencies and problems. So if this knowledge about starters led to more bullpenning and openers and all the, you know, we're seeing the more reliance on bullpens right now. And yet now, as you're pointing out, the, you know, the bullpen arms are not doing better than keeping your starter in per se. Where do you see a correction coming?
I hope so. I don't know necessarily that you're going to see it, just because pitchers now are trained to go shorter. It's kind of a give me everything you've got for as long as you can mentality. That works in like a short season, like in the postseason. In the regular season, it's much more challenging. It's funny, though, like there are analytic inclined teams that do have good bullpens. The Rays are one. The Indians are another. The Yankees, who are, despite all they spend on player salaries, Yankees put as much into analytics as anybody. Mm-hmm. They're right up there, too. So it's a problem, especially a problem for the teams at the bottom. They've got to try and figure out a way to make this work. And I don't know that anyone's going to be able to do that quickly.
Now, you mentioned also, Mark, that this is a particularly bad problem in the National League. I was going to ask you that. Is that just an obvious bias? It's what our eyes tell us. Certainly in this market, we see the Yankees and the Mets a lot. So we say, you know, and as you said, there's some obvious teams in the American League that seem to have better bullpens. But is this problem even worse in the National League?
Yeah, the Giants and the Cardinals are the only two teams that have bullpens that have been worth anything this year. When you look at, there are stats to evaluate this. One of them is called win probability added, where you're essentially looking at how much a pitcher is contributing to his team's chance to win. And in the National League, it's the Giants by a mile over the Cardinals, and then the Cardinals by a mile over everybody else. That's 13 other teams that have significant problems. And I think the easiest way to think of it is this. Look at each of those teams, and can you name more than two relievers that you would feel comfortable with on any of those teams?
Not over a sustained period of time. I think the fans who watch those teams, it's a matter of this guy seems to be competent for a few weeks, and then somehow he loses that. Maybe he's overworked because the beleaguered manager starts going to the guy who's actually competent for a few weeks, and then his effectiveness falls off. But you're right, massive problem for most teams in the National League. All right, so let's turn to the Mets now and dive into some numbers. And Pete Alonso, broke the home run record for National League rookies on Sunday. Should we grade on a curve right now? Not to take anything away, because what Alonso is doing is incredibly impressive, but try and put this into context for us. Is the record was just set a couple of years ago by the Dodgers' Cody Bellinger. Should we be grading on a curve right now?
Yeah, I think so. And there are ways to do that in the statistical community. And that's not to diminish anything that Pete's done this year. 40 is 40, and 40 is really, really good. But 40 now, in a year in which we're getting 1.4 home runs per game for a team, is a lot different from the 40 of when we were younger, mm-hmm. and when in the 1980s, when Darryl Strawberry was hitting 38, 39. It was harder to hit home runs then. 40 is still very, very good. There aren't too many players with more than that right now. But yes, I think it's best to grade on a curve. And when you do that, Darryl Strawberry and his 38, 39 home run seasons, those are like the equivalent of hitting in the 50s now. And I think that needs to be remembered by the folks our age and shared with some of the younger folks to explain to them kind of a historical context to this.
Yeah, and then they tell us, and in your day, people walk to school. talking to Mark Simon from Sports Info Solutions. All right, so the Mets record. I wanted you to dig deeper here and give Mets fans what are some statistics that would help Mets fans believe this team could win a wild card berth, make the postseason?
I think the biggest thing is that it's fairly wide open. The Mets, per Baseball Reference and Fangraphs, have a playoff probability in the mid-20s, and that's perfectly fine. And they have, I think, the best starting rotation of the teams that are competing for this. And when you have starting pitching, less bullpen, mm-hmm. For this team, that's important. But I think what's also worth noting is you have guys that in September and October have pitched in a lot of really big games, mm-hmm. and came through those games, maybe not like a Bumgarner, but came through them really well. It's DeGrom in the
Syndergaard
against the Dodgers.
Yep.
Syndergaard in the one game against the Giants. Marcus Stroman pitched a game five and pitched for Team USA in the World Baseball Classic in the championship game. They've got guys that are right there. It's just a matter of can they build leads big enough that the bullpen doesn't chuck them away.
All right, so now the flip side of that is, now give me some stats that would argue, if you were a Mets fan, on why you should be worried that this team is not going to qualify for the postseason. What's the underbelly here and the weaknesses that would worry you most?
Well, I think I would start with the relief pitching and Edwin Diaz and his 5.5 ERA and Familia with his 6 ERA, though Gerace has looked a lot better of late. Justin Wilson has been okay. Seth Lugo has been very good, certainly. The defense is certainly something to be a little nervous about. And I'll give you something that fans can watch over the course of the season. The Mets have pitchers who, yes, throw the high fastball, but they have pitchers who put an emphasis on getting the ball down in the zone. And Wilson Ramos, as good as he's been with runners in scoring position and hitting lately, he has trouble catching that low pitch and either framing it when it's in the strike zone or trying to steal it when it's out of the strike zone. He rates the lowest in baseball for that by a pretty good margin. And If they're in a really big spot in the ninth inning or the eighth inning of a close game in the final 15 games of the season, for their sake, they might want to go to Thomas Nido at the end of games to kind of be a defensive closer. They have a couple of defensive weaknesses. That's one that I think has me a little skittish at this point.
Mm-hmm. It's something they're clearly aware of. They're working with Ramos on, yep. But you're right. It's a hard thing to fix for a player in his 30s at this point in the season.
Yep.
All right. So now diving into some numbers on a positive side is Ahmed Rosario, certainly to our eyes, and a lot of the numbers would back it up, since the All-Star break, has looked like a different player than he was earlier in the season. From a statistical standpoint, both defensively and offensively, what have you seen from Ahmed Rosario?
Yeah, I want to give him credit on the defensive side because by our metrics, he was among the worst shortstops in baseball for the first couple of months of the season, and it was pretty ugly. He couldn't make the backhand play. He was having a lot of trouble doing a lot of different things on the defensive side. And he's gotten to a point now where if he's the shortstop, he's average. And the jump from bad to average is actually just as important as the jump from average to good. It's like you went from an okay guy to a gold glove guy. All right, now you're improving considerably at the shortstop position. So that's one. On the offensive side, Keith Hernandez has talked about it. He's going to all fields now. He's hitting line drives with authority. And right now, he is all over fastballs. His fastball numbers are outstanding. His numbers against some breaking pitches and some of the other stuff are still have room for improvement. But he's cut down on his really bad chases. He's been a little more aggressive in the strike zone. He's making contact a little bit more. Just, I guess, smarter swings would be something that I would pinpoint for him. And he looks like a guy who now is comfortable in major leagues.
Talking to Mark Simon of Baseball Sports Info Solutions about diving into some of the Mets and baseball statistics. And so last year, we all know Jacob DeGrom had a superb season, won the Cy Young Award. Obviously, he's not having that type of season, but he's been pitching awfully well of late. So how does he compare to other top starting pitchers in the National League and for the analytics crowd, who are those folks who might vote for the Cy Young at the end of the season? Where does he stack up in your perception of Cy Young right now?
So he's been certainly, I think this held true to last year too, he's better than his record, not surprisingly. 8-7 this year, 10-9 last year. Take the win loss, chuck it out the window.
Yep.
He's near the top, at or near the top of the National League in strikeouts. The K to walk is a little worse than last year, but not terribly so. Home runs are up, not a surprise. Home runs are up throughout baseball. He's been really good. Like, he's right there. I think it will depend on, one, how Ryu closes the season for the Dodgers, and two, how Scherzer comes back for the Nationals. Before Max got hurt, he had a 1-2 ERA over a 10-start span, which I don't know if DeGrom can match that. If DeGrom is very good the rest of the way, he's going to be right there in the Cy Young voting. I don't think necessarily that it's his to win this year, though. It'll be more of a hodgepodge for him to try and snatch it.
All right, last question before I let you go. Is there a way, you know, we think of all the different things that we measure. From an analytics standpoint, do you look at a manager's performance and attribute it, a manager's contribution to wins and losses?
Oh, man, that's the saber. The people in the sabermetric community have been wanting to figure out a good way to do that for years and years and years. If this is specific to Mickey Callaway,
yes, hypothetically asking for a friend who might wear orange and blue, but yes, that's where I was heading.
Let's see. So I think you have to give him credit for the pitching staff in some ways, right? Him and Silvernagian, because there has been an improvement in Syndergaard from earlier in the season, and Wheeler certainly looks more like second-half Wheeler recently. Seth Lugo, he deserves some credit for that. There are a lot of things, though, that I guess get demerits, and you don't know whether to blame him or not. there's no like decision making metric. He's been a little questionable in that regard. I think I'm trying to basically invent something on the spot, and that's a little challenging. I would think that if there was a sabermetric rating for managers, he would come out below average, and especially after saying that 85% of his decisions don't have anything to do with analytics.
Yeah, I don't know what that was about. It was odd, especially because so much of his introduction and press conference, and then
right.
even bringing in the new general manager, Brody Van Wagenen, and part of this was in beefing up the Mets analytics department and having the Mets become a more modern thinking baseball team. And then to say 85% seemed interesting.
Yeah, I will say this, and this is kind of a joke that I cracked after he said that I would say that he has a negative wins above replacement when it comes to trying to explain why he does things. That's been something that we've noticed, I think, now for 2 years, that he articulates in a way sometimes that people don't seem to like. And this was one of those. What he said might have been different from what he meant, at least for the analytics group at the Mets. I would hope so.
Yeah. All right. Mark, Simon, appreciate the time, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thank you.
All right. We'll do an update and a break and be right back.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.